Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Okay, so remember the little pink pill? That's the kind of obnoxious catchphrase people were using last year for the so-called female Viagra. The drug, pharmaname flibanserin. Did I say that right, Carrie? That was it. Okay.
Yep.
Flibanserin has a brand name, Addy. It was supposed to increase sexual desire in women with low libido, and it went on the market in October. But now there's a new meta-analysis on the drug out in JAMA Internal Medicine this week, along with a very critical editorial by two professors of medicine at the Dartmouth Institute. So here with the latest on the little pink pill is Carrie Goldberg. She's co-host of WBUR's Common Health Blog. Hi there, Carrie.
Hey, Meghna.
Okay, so this drug, it was from Valeant Pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I actually don't remember hearing much about it since its big splash last year.
Right, and the reason you haven't heard much about it is because it's kind of been a bit of a fizzle, actually, especially in comparison to the little blue pill, Viagra. And by the way, just to set the record straight, it's not really a female Viagra. There are a lot of really major differences. Like, the way I think about it is Viagra works on plumbing, whereas the pink pill works on the brain. And also, you take Viagra sort of when you need it, whereas the pink pill you have to take every day.
Huh.
And we tend to think of Viagra as sort of for an older cohort of men, while this pill was approved for premenopausal women. But, you know, the biggest difference of all is in demand,
right,
at least so far. So Bloomberg News is reporting that more than 500,000 men got prescriptions for Viagra in the first month after it came out in 1998. Now, what would you guess is the number of prescriptions for Addy in its first few weeks?
Okay, so 500,000 for Viagra
for
when
men.
It first came out. 260,000.
So try 227 total. Prescription.
Oh my God, I was only off by a yes. factor of 100.
5,000, yes. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So basically,
wow.
It's
okay.
A fizzle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so this meta-analysis in the journal JAMA Internal Medicine, what did that find?
So as you know, a meta-analysis is a roundup of all the existing studies so far. There's only a handful of them. And basically, the data are all looking very consistent.
Consistently good or bad or
consistently
what?
Consistently kind of eh.
Okay. Right?
Like, so the benefits are that... Okay, you need to learn a new unit of measurement. It's the SSE, the sexually satisfying event.
Okay.
Okay? So on average, the women would go from 3 SSEs, or sexual satisfying events, to 3.5 in a month. So basically, one additional event every 2 months was the average benefit for the women who took this pill. But meanwhile, in terms of side effects and downsides, there were quite a few. There, 21% of women report severe drowsiness compared to 8% with placebo. You can have dizziness, you can have nausea, and there's even a tiny uptick in sort of fainting and dangerously low blood pressure.
Okay, so lots of serious side effects. You still have to take the pill every day, and you only got that little bump up in SSE. So I can see why we didn't have women rushing to the pharmacy.
Right. And this raises the question again of why the FDA approved this drug, since it was already known that the benefits were pretty underwhelming and it did carry risks. And so, Meghna, you may remember that there was this great big debate around the quote-unquote little pink pill. And there was a group called Even the Score that argued, made a kind of a feminist argument that men had a whole bunch of drugs to help their sex lives. And so women kind of have the right. They should have that option, too.
Okay, so gender
right?
equity in pharma. I get that. But
right.
on the other hand, weren't there questions of whether the FDA was responding to political pressure rather than science when it approved the drug?
Yes. So, I mean, it was a complex question. Like, on the one hand, many women do wish that they had more desire, right? On the other hand, female desire is complex. There was a lot of talk about this at the time. Like, can you really solve female desire with a pill? So some people said it was sexist to approve the drug. Some people said it was sexist not to approve the drug. And you're right. Even putting all these issues aside, it was just not the greatest looking drug.
Okay. Right? So it's been several months now, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're you know, 5 or 6 months from its release. With mm-hmm. this perspective, what's the moral of the story?
Right. That's what I asked Steve Wallochin and Lisa Schwartz. They're professors of medicine at the Dartmouth Institute for Health Policy and Clinical Practice. And they wrote the critical editorial that you mentioned to go along with this meta-analysis in JAMA Internal Medicine. Here's what Steve and Wallochin says.
So the moral of the story is that FDA approved a marginally effective drug for a non-life-threatening condition in the face of substantial and largely unnecessary uncertainty about its dangers.
And he says that uncertainty was unnecessary because the FDA had told the drug makers what to do to better determine the risks, and they didn't do it. Here's Lisa Schwartz.
The FDA told the company to do a study looking in premenopausal women how the drug interacted with alcohol, and the study was amazingly done in men. And not only just men, but men who are moderate drinkers.
Well, 4 out of 23 of the men had symptomatic low blood pressure.
Stop, Carrie. I want to jump in here. The FDA said do a study about a pill for women on women, premenopausal women, right. And the company did it on men.
Isn't that amazing? It's truly baffling. Yes.
It's horrible.
It's just baffling. I don't get it. But anyway, Stephen Woloshin also points out that these were men. They weren't just men. They were men who were experienced drinkers, so they were probably more tolerant than most of alcohol. And there really is, it's a very small, but there's a real risk that women who combine alcohol with this little pink pill might not just get low blood pressure, but they could actually pass out. And you can imagine that could happen when you're driving.
I'm still stumbling over the whole research behind this that the FDA asked for that wasn't appropriately carried out. And yet the FDA approved the drug?
Yes. And so that was a big point of this editorial, that the FDA often, you know, they tell you what to do and you should do it. I didn't realize that they would approve your drug even if you didn't do what they told you to do or didn't design your study the way they said.
Okay, so I'm going to put that aside for just a moment because there's so many other threads here. Let's go back to the group, Even the Score, that you talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. How much pressure did the group actually put on the FDA?
Well, that is the question. There were certainly reports that there were quite a few women giving very heartfelt testimony about the need for a treatment at FDA, at these FDA hearings. And that group did get some funding from the drug company. Here's Lisa Schwartz on that.
It was just an incredibly aggressive campaign which sort of ignored the idea about the science and made it all about these charges of sexism as opposed to the idea that there were real concerns about science here. I mean, to me as a woman, I think that what feminism means is getting good drugs that really help more than they hurt, and I want them
or
to
non-drugs.
Be approved or non-drugs or whatever the treatments are. I mean, I think, you know, it's important to meet the needs of women, but we want to do that based on good science that tells us that we're helping more than we're hurting women. And I think that even the score, it started to become about something else.
So there you have the moral, Meghna, of the little pink pill story.
Wow. Okay. Well, there's actually a lot more to this. Carrie's been reporting on it, and we have a link to her reporting on the Common Health blog. Our link is at radioboston.org. Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBR's Common Health blog, thanks as always.
You're welcome, Meghna.